webradio.com.
This is Michael Gannett with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And it is, Iris, it's another beautiful day in the Jewish state.
Yeah, amazing day.
It is.
Summer day.
Hot. And I want to start off by saying, I want to thank all the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. That for over 2 years, you know, Iris, I didn't even have an anniversary for Insight to Israel. Insight to Israel came out in March of 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we have to celebrate it.
Yeah.
We will.
Insight to Israel came out in March of 2013. So we're almost over
2 years.
2 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Great. Amazing. So.
Great project.
Wow. I want to thank the guys at America's Web Radio out of Atlanta, Georgia, for bringing the truth of the Jewish state to the grassroots of the United States. Wow, Iris, what we have talked about in 2 years, in the past 2 years.
Wow, what amazing. We have been through in the 2 years that you've been in Israel.
Amazing. Yeah, I've been here.
How many wars?
I came in October 2012. That was when
there on November you had the
rockets.
The rockets.
That was my first experience. I was like, wow, this is insane.
They didn't give you time to recover?
No. And went right into the summer of 2014.
Yeah.
No. I came in 2012. The rockets were hitting then. It wasn't so bad. I don't want to say it wasn't so bad.
Then it was not so bad. It was short. Not like the last summer. It was a lot long and a lot more massive.
Right. And I was, you know what, for me being here fresh, I didn't have Insight to Israel then. I didn't have Hershey's for Heroes then. All I had was a cell phone. That was it. That's all I came here with, was a cell phone, $600 in my pocket. Didn't know anyone.
Yeah.
I was smart. The first thing I did when I got here was I did volunteer work with the Israeli army. And I actually need to go back and post all that stuff again.
Right.
Because, wow, what I experienced. You know, growing up, hearing about Israel, reading about Israel, my mother reading the Bible to me, looking at the news. You know, you feel like you kind of have an idea of what a place is like. And that's understandable, you know. You have a little bit of a taste. It's kind of like when I make dinner for all you guys.
Yeah.
You know, and you smell the aroma, but you haven't had it in your mouth, but you know
right.
It's good.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
That's kind of like Israel. You read about it, how amazing the people are. You look at the history, what you've been through, how you fought, you know, what you fight for, which is freedom every day. And you look at, like, we're sitting here at the beach. It's, wow, what a beautiful day. And, you know, we see Jaffa in the back down here in the distance. You know, I've seen all these videos, and I can almost, like, I can smell it, but I can't taste it.
You know, and I want to tell you, so what is the difference between how you imagine Israel from back, far back from America?
Right.
After 2 years experience in Israel.
Well, 2 years experience, actually almost three. I've been here longer than I've had the radio show.
Okay.
Because I didn't have the radio show when I came.
2 years and 4 months.
So, actually 2 years and...
Four, 5 months.
October. 2012.
November, December, January. Oh, in the house.
Yeah.
Wow, the time goes by quickly.
2 years and 6 months. So, you know, I used to watch these videos, and we're going to get back on track, folks, but I think it needs to be said. I used to watch these videos. There was one specific, and folks need to look it up if they can. It's called something to the fact of Jerusalem IMAX 3D. Or IMAX. IMAX was it. Jerusalem IMAX. It was something to that effect. Anyway, it basically, the name was Jerusalem, but yet they did... In the introduction of the video on YouTube, they would do an aerial view of different parts of Israel and talk about it, just briefly to describe the movie. And they did an aerial view over Masada, and the music changed with each place that they were shooting. you know, they had this music for Masada, for boating. It was like over Masada, and talked about how the Jews fought off the Romans in King Herod's palace. And then they fly over the Kinnerets and the place of the Beatitudes, where Yeshua gave the Beatitudes, and they have this like springtime music, you know. They come over this horizon, and as they come, they shoot over this like desert green field, and then they pan up. It's almost like a helicopter going up.
Yeah.
But in motion, moving forward, and you see all of Jerusalem. It gives you like this breathtaking view of Jerusalem. My point in saying, and one more thing, they also did this aerial view over Jaffa, which was amazing, and over Caesarea,
okay,
where there's a lot of Roman ruins. And I watched this video. I remember Dan and Sandy. I'm so brain dead. I'm tired from working all week. It was crazy. Anyway, some friends of mine, Dan and Sandy. They'd kill me if they heard this show. Dan is a captain in the Navy, and they actually, I stayed in their house in Washington, D.C., because I moved out of my apartment before I left. So my point in saying that is, Sandy watched this video, and she sat and cried, and she goes, "Michael, this was the day before I left." She goes, "I can't believe you're going there. That looks amazing." And every time I'd watch this video, I would use it to inspire me. Like when I would question myself, "Michael, are you making a mistake? You're leaving everything. You gave away everything in your house in Washington. You know, you're handling your business. You're clearing up. You're leaving nothing. You're leaving nothing for yourself to come back to." Because I basically gave, narrowed my life down to two bags and gave the rest of my clothes away for the most part.
Amazing.
So I would watch that video, and there was another video I'd watch by Aish.
Okay.
That it was, you know that song?
Very famous.
Give me freedom.
Yeah.
Give me fire. Anyway, they did this video. Aish Atura?
Yeah.
Did this video of Israelis singing on Ben Yehuda Street in Jerusalem, talking about give me freedom, give me fire, give me that which I desire. And it was it's a beautiful song.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And they show Israelis mouthing the words to the song as they go down Ben Yehuda, and everyone's doing something different.
Wow.
It's a very powerful video. And I used to sit and use that video to inspire me, because it would draw me in, because I'd say, wow, one day I'm going to actually see that street that I see right now that I've heard about so much, Ben Yehuda in Jerusalem. It's a very popular street full of restaurants and cafes. So I used that to inspire me. And never would have dreamed in 1,000 years, Iris, that I would be doing what I am now. That I would have a program called Insight to Israel, or Hershey's for Heroes, which I designed. And I don't like to use the word I, but look, I had to come up with something.
Right.
When the opportunity fell in my lap to have a radio show. You remember when I presented you with the logo? Remember
right,
when I started
right,
working on it?
Right.
And you're like, wow, that looks really great. And then your people at your office helped me make it better.
Yeah.
They improved upon it.
Right.
But the concept itself, this country has given me the ability to be creative. And what I've experienced here in this country and the people here has changed my life amazingly. And look, I think you can say the same about Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes on your part as an Israeli.
Right. Right. Well, I can say the same. Because when I met Michael, and then I met his project, Insight for Israel and Hershey's for Heroes.
Now, let me say this. I'm going to pause in here, and we're going to joke around, but I want to be serious, because you and I are dating. Because we spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
I love you, Iris. I love you. You've been a huge help to this work here. Because you can be biased in your reporting and what you're about to say.
No, I'm not biased. I'm not prejudiced. I'm very criticizing about everything.
You're hard on me.
And I will straight. But I must say that Michael is a very big inspiration for me and for a lot of Israelis. And I was privileged by knowing him to know through him the big part of the American people that really love Israel and support Israel. Because all the information and the impression of American people that we get is just by the media.
Right.
The biased media.
Right.
And media shows
us... The lying media.
Exactly. The media shows us Obama's government and all his criticism about Israel and all his
anti-Semitism
about Israel and all the demonstration against Israel and... Everything that Israel is doing is wrong, and we are all the time we are to blame. And this is the reality that we are living for. And for the first time, after I met Michael, and through his Facebook page and his project, I was exposed to the big support and love of the American people, a lot of the American people, actually most of the American people. I was feeling like blessed, and I was surprised and shocked to know that there are a lot of American people that will support Israel, and it gives us a lot of confidence in what we think and believe, and it really strengthens me and a lot of Israeli people, and I'm really thankful for Michael and for all of you for really supporting us. And I'm sharing all the support that I get from you guys. I really support with my friends. I want everybody, a lot of people to know that. And then Michael also is really doing a great job. A lot of people that he meets in the street, he tells them about Inside to Israel and Ashes for Euros. He tells them about the greatness of the American people. And a lot of people are exposed to the support of American people.
Yeah, and you know what, Iris? I'll tell you. And look, I want to say, I think we're on a good track here because it needs to be said. We don't actually often do shows about where the importance of Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. I think there's people that know. I know the radio show seems to be doing fairly well, but it needs to do better. I need to do more on my part, and I need Americans to do more on behalf of Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. Look, folks, you need to go to the Hershey's for Heroes page. You know, you can't have one without the other. The reason why, when Insight to Israel was formed, the reason why I started Hershey's for Heroes was because I wanted Americans who think that they need to give thousands of dollars or hundreds of dollars to all these big organizations that they can't really see a tangible, get tangible feedback as to where their money goes.
Right.
I'm telling you, Iris, I've seen organizations here in Israel from the United States that are pro-Israel that invest hundreds of thousands of dollars in a building, in staff. Now, the staff are necessary. I wish I had staff. I wish I could afford to pay you what you were worth, because otherwise I'd still be broke because I couldn't afford to hire anyone else because you do a lot. But with that being said, folks, don't send your... I don't want to say don't send your money. You have to pray about where you send your money. You have to ask God where to send your money. But I will tell you that you will get no other better feedback, no other front lines, real-time information from any other organization, not even Fox News, than you will with Insight to Israel. And you will have no better understanding of who these soldiers are until you look at Hershey's for Heroes. Until you see the videos, until you see the face of the soldiers that receive a note with a chocolate bar on it that dramatically changes their outlook. You know, it's just... excuse me. You know, Iris, I'm going to be a little negative here. I actually have friends I went to university with to Bible college. They have churches. I'm not saying they have a lot of money, but I know they have churches. And I've seen some of their churches. And they see what I post on Facebook, and sometimes they actually like it. But I don't get any chocolate bars from them.
Well, it reminds me that you know this Friday you got chocolate bars from a random American guy.
Random American guy.
just met in Jerusalem.
Met him in Jerusalem. He's actually working in India, doing business in India.
Just saw your Facebook page.
He saw the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page. Wow, I need some water. Saw the Hershey's for Heroes Facebook page. He sent me an email and said, Michael, I'm coming to Israel for the second time in my life. Would you give me some more of this? And so this guy sent me an email and said, Michael, I'm coming to Israel for the second time. And I saw your Hershey's for Heroes page. And I looked through it and I was impressed by what Americans are doing by sending you Hershey's for Heroes and the program that you designed. And he said, I'm bringing two cases with me. Each case has 36 chocolate bars. This man took the time, he's not Jewish, took the time to put the notes in Hebrew, English and Hebrew. I don't know how he did it. Actually, they were printed, so I'm sure that he used a program on his computer. But he brought those chocolate bars all the way from India.
Wow. Wow. And this guy, you didn't know him before?
Never knew him before. And just out of the blue, I got this email. So I went and met him. Amazing man. I've hooked him up with, he's going to be here a month visiting. So I've sent out some emails and connected him with some people. And now he actually wants to come with me sometime when I'm traveling, going to a base. We're doing some kind of work. And observe. So we're going to try and work something out with him. But I need Americans. Listen, you're not America. America, that Americans that are listening to this, Canadians, wherever. Listen, you need to support this organization, Insight to Israel, because we are boots on the ground information about the truth concerning the Jewish state and our fight for sovereignty and security. This country, in spite of all the war, in spite of all the conflict, in spite of all the hatred for the Jewish people, this country is number one in technology, agriculture, and medicine. And you need to support Hershey's for Heroes. I need churches out there to get serious and to send me thousands of chocolate bars, and I'll tell you why. First of all, I'm going to say you will get it. You can either go through PayPal or send me an email. Go to Facebook, Michael Gonneau, Insight to Israel, or Hershey's for Heroes, one of the three. Send me an email, and I will send you information how you can get make a tax-deductible donation to Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. And you can go to the About section of Hershey's for Heroes on Facebook and see where you can send chocolate bars.
I think we should also thank Tom Trento.
We're going to get to that. Let me say this.
Bringing Honza.
Ken, let me say this real quick. Folks, we got a North. I know, Iris, I know, you're looking at me. This needs to be said. We're going to have another conflict this summer. Iris, we're going to have another conflict this summer with Hamas. We're going to have a conflict from the north, from Hezbollah and the Iranian Guard, which is taking over.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that.
Of course.
Which is taking over the Middle East. ISIS may be defeated, but ISIS is running Africa right now. They're going to run the show in Africa. I think we're going to see that. I predicted that months ago.
Right.
Excuse me. But Iran doesn't care what ISIS does in Africa, because he knows that they're going to get a strike off in Rome because there are refugees leaving Libya, where Italy has said, okay, you can come in, and ISIS is going to blend in with those refugees. And if they get one suicide bombing, no matter how big or how small, off in Rome, that will inspire the Muslims in Europe. Because ISIS has already said, and I'm going to make my point, ISIS has already said that the same crusaders, speaking of the Catholic Church, because they're seeing all Christianity as crusaders.
Right.
And they said the same crusaders that dumped bin Laden's body in the sea, we will fill that sea with their blood. So my point in saying this, Israel's surrounded on every front, and you need to send Hershey's for Heroes, folks. If you do nothing else, if you don't send me a tax deductible or a PayPal donation, I'll find a way to survive. But you need to send Hershey's for Heroes. Because it's going to be serious this summer.
And I think this is the American people respond to Obama's behavior against
his hatred for the Jews.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. Anyway, also, yeah, this week, Iris, we were with Tom Trento from the United West. Tom has had insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes on their show, on their television and radio show out of Boca Raton, Florida. And those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're great. He's a great guy.
The United West exposes Islamic infiltration into Western governments, into Western media, into Western educational system, into Western politics. Well, you know, there's a difference between the government and politics.
Okay.
You have people that work for the government, and then you have people involved in politics. But these guys do a great job. They're here in Israel now. I spent last week with them. We went to some great lectures.
Right.
What was one of the lectures? You attended one with us.
Yeah, we went to the lecture with David Ivry, who was a former ambassador for the United States, and he was in the Air Force, the manager of the Air Force combat unit, and he was participating in the Air Force attack on nuclear facilities in Iraq.
Iraq. Wow, that was a bit
20 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I'll tell you, if you love history, now you can find this guy's information on my Facebook page and in all my social media, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Google. And we're going to actually have the video of that event from Tom. They're putting it together now. So we're going to post that video. But let me ask you something, Iris. Did you glean anything out of that? What did you, as someone who's Israeli, did you find yourself going to events like this?
No, I was less aware of this actual event because I was not that involved, and the fact that I see that so many American people that come to Israel and are so much involved in what happened in Israel, support Israel, and they really want to know everything about what's going on there. And I said, and I start to join them, and I said, okay, they're so much involved. Well, I should be involved also.
Right.
It inspired me.
Right. It's your country.
Yeah.
Now, when I first met Tom and those guys when they came here, we went to the Paul Mock Museum.
Wow.
If you don't know what the Paul Mock is, there were four groups that were all Zionists that wanted to revive or have a Jewish state where Jews could be saved. The Paul Mock, Lechi,
Etzel,
and Haganah. And folks, you need to look these up for yourself. You need to research this yourself. So Tom and I met the group at the Paul Mock Museum, and I have to tell you, when we left that museum, we were crying. And it was an amazing experience.
Yeah, a lot of young people that just have been through the Holocaust came to Israel, and after all these awful things that they have been through, they have to fight here against the Muslims.
The Muslims and the British.
And the British, yeah.
Who actually kept them
in. And they lost a lot of friends.
Yeah, it is truly inspirational. If you read, you can watch videos, too, on YouTube about the Paul Mock, about the Haganah, Lechi and Etzel. You need to find out and inform yourself. Iris, I'm telling you, we left there crying. Tom and I were both crying.
Yeah.
And that's the second time I've been there. But the first time
I hardly have had weapons to fight with. United States was not there for them. No, like, they were, like, smuggling weapons. They just was, like, fighting whatever they had, and it was very difficult.
And a lot of the people that were with Tom that came on this trip were very, they were very moved by it. They've been informed. Tom, right now, I was not able to join them because this week I did. I was in Haifa with them. We had another lecture there. A gentleman who had served in the army and who actually works with helping Jews to come home.
Aliyah. Wow.
Yeah, it was a very good lecture. And they help Jews become acclimated to their environment, to the environment here in Israel. It's a change of lifestyle. Now, it's a great life here. I've been blessed. It is tough here. It's expensive. And so they help people fall into that place of adjusting. And look, Iris, you pay, can you imagine, you own a car, you paid 100% car tax on your car.
Right.
Electronics, there's a 30% tax on it.
Right.
These are things we're not accustomed to in the United States. And especially when you have Jews transitioning from the United States to Israel, it's hard.
Yeah, right, it's very difficult.
And so that lecture was amazing. And we had a great time sitting around after the event. And Tom and I just kind of, we spent time together just comparing notes of what we both experienced with Islam in Washington, D.C., and how even those in the right wing or the Republican Party, the establishment, have embraced Islam. And maybe even if they haven't embraced it, they've accepted it. And many even deny that Islam has infiltrated the Republican Party. It was a very enlightening conversation. So we had that time in Haifa, which Haifa is beautiful. Beautiful port city.
The mountain, looking over the sea.
The Mediterranean Sea, it is gorgeous. And you can find those pictures on my Facebook page. Beautiful. So I actually spent this week doing a sitcom. Folks, listen, I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep this going. I have a small donor base, so I have to work. I have to scrub some toilets, and which reminds me, I have one toilet I have to scrub here soon. And I do acting on the side and commercials.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a lot of money. So don't, folks, don't be deceived. This ain't Hollywood.
No.
You know, I'll work a whole day, sometimes from 8 in the morning till 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'll make 300 shekels, which is about almost $100.
Right. And almost.
I'm working, 14 hours, 15 hours.
Right.
But the interesting thing is, Iris, and I think this is necessary for me to share, because I did a two-day shooting on a Richard Gere movie called Oppenheimer. And it is a movie about how Israel got nukes, nuclear weapons.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
And you should see it when you come to the screen.
What's that?
No, because you perform there.
When
so.
It comes to the movie theater, yeah, it'll be out next year.
Ah, next year.
And I play the diplomatic advisor to the Prime Minister of Israel.
Okay.
In this movie. And it was an amazing experience to know that I'm in a country that I've read about my whole life, never had any kind of desire to be in any kind of commercial or acting or anything like that. And I will say that my experience has been a very natural experience. And I'll tell you, I get a lot of good feedback from the directors. They say, wow, you do a great job. You really fit in this. And people ask me all the time, are you an actor? Did you go to acting school? I'm like, no. I just do what I'm told.
I saw him in action. He has a natural talent. He really does.
And
on this Wednesday, he was performing with one of the most famous actors in Israel, I must say.
Folks, we're going to come right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gonneau. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Iris, we...
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, Iris.
The last days,
so
a lot.
At the end, let me say this. Folks, you know, we're very busy here. I don't have a normal life here. I do not have a normal... The life that I live here is not the life I lived in the United States.
If you had a normal life, you would get bored very fast.
I would be. I was bored. Yeah, you're right, Iris. And so, you know, that first section, folks, that first part of the radio show, I just wanted to give you a glimpse, a little bit of a glimpse of the continuous work. Iris, it's when I wake up in the morning, I'll tell you that there's days I'm exhausted. Like, I'm exhausted, and I have to say, there's times I don't feel like doing anything. But I have no other choice. Because if this work is going to succeed, you have to just keep pressing on.
Right.
Anyway, there's a lot going on in the world, Iris, and we want to talk about it in the second segment, because Bibi won the election.
Oh, there are no some guy that it pissed him off.
Yeah, there's some people that are very upset, Iris Burrell. And I'll tell you, the Obama administration and Jeremy Byrd, who worked for him in 2012, they spent millions of dollars to try to throw out the right wing and Bibi Netanyahu.
Right.
And the way that the polls read here, the way that the media was always attacking Bibi for nothing.
Right.
He hasn't brought any corruption to the government.
No.
He didn't steal money from the government. His wife wasn't using, you know, bankrolling her personal life, you know, at the expense of the Jewish people. But yet, you know, Bibi's very successful. The guy's a millionaire.
Hold on one second.
We got to pause. Hold on one second. Okay.
They presented like everything that he has done was a disaster. Like the economic here is disaster. He ruined the economy. They presented like everything is like...
And actually, the economy's pretty good. I mean, look, Israelis have to work hard, folks. This is a very expensive life here. But I will tell you, their unemployment rate is at 5.6%.
Right.
Compared to the United States, which is at 20% in real numbers. And
they accuse him for breaking the relationship with the United States.
Yeah, when that speech before the Congress, which he had every right to give, the New York Times lied about Bibi not notifying the White House. They did notify the White House that Bibi was going to be speaking, and they came back later and said, "Oh, we made a mistake. Bibi's people, the people that worked for him in his cabinet, did notify Obama that he was coming to the U.S. to speak long before it was out in the press."
Right.
So, with that being said, there was a hatred because he was coming to the United States by the Obama administration, by all of the media. I literally had Israelis tell me, "Oh, Bibi's destroying the relationship between the U.S. The U.S. hates him." I literally had Israelis say that people in the U.S. hate Bibi. And I was shocked.
Right. You were shocked, but this is what the media shows, that America hates Bibi. And when you know the people that support Israel through your Facebook page, so people understand that most of the American people really support Bibi and really support Israel. And I'm surprised every time to see this. And now I feel more confidence of the point of view of Bibi.
And you know what, Iris? That's the thing, because we were able to expose one group, B15, which was paid for, bought for by the American taxpayer that Obama set up. And the videos that we have done Insight to Israel's done have been used by the media here in Israel,
right?
And the media in the United States. It's amazing that people tell me all the time, Michael, you're everywhere. You're everywhere. You're all over the place. And that we have to be. When something happens, I'm headed there. When that soldier got stabbed, when the rockets were going off in the north in January, when the soldier got stabbed last fall, we were there. When the rockets went off in the north from Hezbollah, Insight to Israel was there, doing boots on the ground reporting. So with
and
that,
supporting the soldiers there.
And supporting the soldiers there. So now we have Obama continuing to show his hatred for the Jewish state, for the prime minister. It was a huge shock. In fact, even Fox News was saying that if Bibi loses, there will be champagne being passed around in the White House.
Right. Yeah, of course.
So Bibi won. It was a huge... In fact, he won more seats than were expected. Can you tell us about that, Iris?
A lot more. He won like 30 seats when the polls... just a few days before the election, they forecasted like 20 seats.
A narrow, very narrow margin between the left
right.
wing and
they,
the
they,
right
yeah,
wing.
Yeah, everybody thought that the left would be the government. Everybody was saying this. Everybody.
There was a lot of fear from people outside of, let me say it, outside of Tel Aviv. They were very scared.
Yeah, all the people that live on the borders of Israel, the people that are facing the Islam from close, like people that live near the border of
people
Lebanon.
People that live near the Gaza, the Lebanon-Syrian border.
Exactly, Gaza border in Jerusalem. People that face...
People that live in Judea and Samaria.
Exactly, people that face the Muslims and they have to live with them. They understand the danger, the risk of them. They don't believe them. And they understand that the point of view of Bibi is right, that you cannot trust them. But the people that live in the center, in the Tel Aviv, the wealthy people that live in a bubble,
right?
They don't live around Muslims on
right.
a daily life.
Right.
So they think, they said, okay, why do I care about the territories? It's far away from me.
Why do I care about Judea and Samaria?
Yeah, I have nothing to do with the people that live there. It's far away from me. Just give me quiet and leave me alone. This is the attitude here in Tel Aviv.
Now,
this is an illusion.
Now, let me... You know,
this is the attitude of Obama.
Let me say this, because remember when we were doing reporting on election day?
Yeah.
And you went to vote.
Right.
And remember I was talking to those folks saying why America needs Israel?
Right.
And how great Israel is. And we had this big group gathered around us. I love getting a group. I love being right there in the middle and telling folks this is the way it is. You have the best country in the world. People ask me all the time, where are you from? United States. But I live in the greatest country in the world. Where's that? Israel. And they're shocked by this. So remember the lady that walked up after you were done voting when I had that group of people standing there and I was like telling them how great Israel is and the Jewish state? And she walked up and said, Michael, Do you remember that lady?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She met you.
She met me.
What of the...
That election day was what, on a Tuesday?
Right.
She had met me on the previous Friday, and I was asking people, who are you voting for and why? And so she told me, she said, it's hard to live here. Things are expensive, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. I understand. I told her, I said, I'll put my bank account up against yours any day. We'll see who has it the hardest.
Right.
And she was saying, I would give up Judea and Samaria to have better health insurance. And I'm like, you're going to give up a major strategic point for your country, a military strategic point for your country, where I've stood on a hillside that would be a Palestinian state overlooking Ben Gurion Airport and Tel Aviv, Airplanes fly directly over to land at Ben-Gurion. All you need is one shoulder-fired missile to shoot down one plane, and your entire airport will shut down, and no one will come here.
People in Tel Aviv live in an illusion that they can trust the Palestinian people, that will they give them the land, and that's it, and there will be peace forever and ever. They don't understand. They have a united government with Hamas. Hamas took over of the Palestinian Authority on Gaza. Why wouldn't they do it the same in the Palestinian Authority and Judean Samaria?
Right.
People here do not understand the risk. They just don't realize it.
Until
they don't have the knowledge. And it will happen.
Until they're getting hit with rockets
and
in Tel Aviv.
Will, and they will take the visa and then
they're begging for the right wing and for the military to protect
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
So, anyway, with that being said, Bibi won, and it was a great victory, and a lot of people were relieved. Now, this put added pressure on Israel now.
Now, from Obama. And Obama...
And John Kerry.
At the same time, is committed to sign an agreement, a bad agreement with Iran.
Who now is taking over three countries.
Four countries.
Yemen.
Four countries.
Okay, name the countries here.
Okay, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq,
right.
And Yemen now.
And right now, American military, the American military... is being used as a pawn to help fight with Iran against ISIS. And we're giving them weapons. Now, think about
this. Actually, I was just reading that the United States is starting to take off air forces, soldiers from Iraq and give the area to the hands of Iran.
Okay.
On account of Israel and Saudi Arabia.
We're going to be doing airstrikes for them.
Okay, it's just for the paper, you know. Just few strikes, so...
Right, no, I agree, but it's... At the end of the day,
nothing,
it doesn't matter how many airstrikes that we do. It's just... Wow, that guy's annoying. It doesn't matter how many airstrikes we do. It's the fact that we're doing them. Even if we do one, it's the fact that we're giving Iran aid. Now, think about this, folks. For over 10 years, you invested billions of dollars in Iraq, in weapons, in training, tanks. We're talking guns, ammunition, tanks, planes, all of this, uniforms to train the Iraqi security forces. When ISIS came in, they fled. We lost all those weapons to ISIS, okay? All of American weapons fall in the hands of ISIS. We give them more. We send more over there to help them fight against ISIS, and more training, more weapons, more tanks, more planes. And now we're pulling back. We're allowing Iran to fill in the vacuum.
Exactly.
And now they've got a hold of our equipment.
Right. They actually... It's the same policy of the agreement, the nuclear agreement with Iran. They actually give them the permission to be the leading nation in the Middle East.
Right.
Because, see, they control, they occupy four nations now, four states, and Americans do nothing. And they lead them, they pave them the way to the nuclear bomb, actually. And when Israel and everybody criticized the agreement, so what Kerry says, okay, so you have a better agreement? Well, this is an answer that you expect from a nation, powerful nation like the United States. What, you are hopeless against Iran?
It's crazy.
We cannot give you a better nuclear. Okay, so we will just have to complete with accept actually a nuclear weapon.
No, and that's what they're saying now. Kerry actually was in a news conference and said, like you just said, if you've got a better deal, come up with it. Because if you think that eventually Iran's not going to get a nuke, then you're not dealing with reality. So that's exactly what
everybody
he said.
Everybody knows that they will have a nuclear weapon. If after 10 or 15 years they just remove all the supervision of Iran, so what do you think will be
there? Well, actually, there's no supervision going on right now.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
A facade, and they'll have one before 10 years.
But even
they'll have one before 5 years, Iris.
Of course. So, yeah, they all the time have supervision, and meanwhile, they do whatever they want anyway.
So, with that being said, now here's the key, Iris. The key is that Daesh, ISIS, will still, because Iran doesn't care once they push ISIS out of the Middle East, if they do that, they don't care what ISIS does in North Africa. Okay?
Right.
Because ISIS will have their way with North Africa, and then they'll move into Europe.
Exactly.
And that will incite the Muslims that live there. Now, with that being said, talking about that, I actually was shocked at this, what you said to me, and I looked it up myself, that the Swiss are bankrolling Hamas.
Nice.
Right now, back earlier this year, the European Union, actually the world, has donated, not a loan, donated hundreds of billions of dollars, about, I think it was $14 billion, to the Gaza Strip to its rebuilding. Now, that's sickening, first of all, because what did they do with all the other money, the billions of dollars that have been given to them? They wasted it. Actually, they didn't waste it. They bought missiles. They built missiles. They bought weapons.
They built tunnels.
They built tunnels for 12 years. So that's what they did with the money. So now you're going to, and I love how the media plays it. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. And anyone listening to this show, we've got what they call some candy Christians in the United States. Michael, you're not loving enough. You're not compassionate enough. Folks, I could care less about the kids in the Gaza. I'll just tell you that straight up. Because I already know, and I've shown it in all my social media, those kids are taught to kill Jews. They're trained for murder. They're given the Quran. Okay, these are not just Palestinians. These are Muslims, first and foremost. And right now, I was so shocked to see that Switzerland is paying Hamas leaders
the salaries because they don't have the money, because they use it for other purposes.
Because they use it for other purposes. And I was thinking to myself, this is insane. But folks, this is the way the world is. You're not going to change it. We are not going to change the direction the world is going in. But you know what we can do? We need to stand with Israel, even if that means in opposition to our own government.
Right. And the IDF just said this week that if he showed that Hamas rehabilitated his tunnels.
Rehabilitated.
Exactly. All his tunnels.
They're building the tunnels again.
Again. They finished building the tunnels again until the border, they think,
right.
They assume. But
because most everything was destroyed
but I saw evidence from the people that live in the south that they hear noises of digging under the houses. So you know what you know. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
So the IDF knows that they kept on building tunnels. They assume that they just stop on the border of the Gaza. But if they continue, there are a few tunnels that they kept digging after the border, and they don't know about it. This is a problem.
It's a problem, and right now, Iris, we were talking about they're gearing up for another operation.
Exactly.
In the Gaza for this summer.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the IDF is getting ready for it. And if we mention the United Nations, another thing that we're very surprised and that I just read in the news that in the UN library, they sell books that are anti-Semitic. Like one of the books, How Not to Be a Jew.
How Not to Be a Jew.
Yeah, and something like that. These are the books that they have in this library of the United Nations.
Wow.
And this reminds me of, Tom Trenger video that he posted. He was in the north.
Yeah.
He was visiting a base of soldiers near the border, and then he saw that a UN vehicle, and he said, well, it's very relief to know that they are there, that we have someone to support on. So, and another thing,
we're going to find that book, How Not to Be a Jew. I'm going to find that book.
I have a picture of this. And another thing that the UN just did this week, there was this yearly annual for
human rights report.
Yeah.
And the United States did not back Israel.
Yes, and they accused Israel from all over the states in the world, they accused Israel for not keeping of the Palestinian human rights.
Oh my gosh.
That Israel from all over the states in the Middle East.
Have all of the countries in the Middle East.
Exactly.
Israel. Now, let me make you aware, folks. Do you know that, Iris, you know this, 70% of the electric and water that go that are in the Gaza that exists comes from Israel.
And electricity.
From 70% of the electric and water comes from the town of Ashkelon, which is a border town. Israel sends them food, concrete. Some of that concrete you sent them were built, used to build the last tunnels.
Right.
And so, folks, there's no human rights abuses on Israel's part, that's for sure. Now, what else are we going to cover here? We need to talk about, oh, we got Pesach coming up. What a great holiday. Passover coming up. That's next week.
Next weekend, yeah.
Next weekend. Now, this is a time that's not only...
Very significant time for the
Jewish
people.
It's very significant. Now, this is. Let me say this. It's amazing because, you know, Israelis don't get much of a break. You don't have a lot of vacation time. So it's funny to see everybody from around the world come to Israel, and yet Israelis not only use this time to honor God and be thankful to God, but a lot of times they leave the country and take a vacation.
Right.
So it's funny that Jews out... The rest of the world comes in.
This is, yeah.
Now, this isn't across the board. A lot of people, of course, do stay here. But someone told me I should go to a lot and just relax for a few days. But tell us, Israel, or Iris, for you, as an Israeli citizen, a Jewish Israeli citizen, tell us what it's like for you, what Pesach, what Passover means to you.
Okay, Pesach is a... It's a very important holiday where all the families and friends get together, and we are ordered to tell to read the Agadah in the eve of Pesach, in order to tell the story of God helping the Israel people to get released from a dictator, Pharaoh.
Egypt.
Pharaoh. Actually, Israel was a slave to the material there in Egypt.
To the material things.
Yeah, it was good for them, but they were slaves. They actually were busy and building the pyramids all the time.
Isn't that amazing that those pyramids were built by Jews?
Yeah, it's amazing, and they were feeling good, but they were actually slaves for the material stuff. In God's. Order them. Now you will need to get out.
Time to go.
To be connected to the spiritual side of your soul, and to become a people, a Jewish people. After they got out from Egypt, they become a Jewish people.
Now, let me say this. Not to become a Jewish people, but to enhance their Jewishness by honoring him. Because Abraham, God told Abraham, from your seed I will make a great nation.
Right.
So they were already Jewish.
All right. But to become a people.
Right, a nation.
A nation.
To be gathered together.
Only then, in the desert, this is the time when Moses gave them the Ten Commandments. Right?
Right, on Mount Sinai.
That, yes. So.
But there were some folks who stayed behind. When God had done many miracles, used Moses to... whether it was the rod that became a serpent, or...
I'm showing Michael a picture of the statue of Pharaoh, the dictator of Egypt that was cruel to Israel, and the picture of Obama. They are very much alike.
Yeah, that's an amazing
and
picture.
And a lot of people say, you see, it was also in the Time magazine. They said that it's a hint that the Obama now is like is a leader like Pharaoh that is
like Pharaoh
that Pharaoh also was a nigger that they are quoted to Israel.
Okay, so. Pharaoh. Sometimes your words come out a little.
Yeah, I know.
It's hard to understand.
Correct me.
Can't. So,
Anyway, it's a.
Yeah, you're hilarious.
It's a very significant time for Israel people. Everybody's getting together, and we are obligated to tell the story to our children. They must remember how God helped us. They must believe, put our belief in God all the time.
Right.
But at that time, we also remember what happened in the 2002.
During the Passover, it's called the Passover Massacre.
Yeah, that the Hamas terrorists walked into a Passover Seder.
A Passover dinner.
Yeah.
Disguised as a woman.
Yeah, at the dining hall of the Park Hotel in Netanya.
In Netanya.
And set off.
Which is not far from here. And it's on the coast.
Yeah, and set off a powerful explosive in a suitcase he was carrying. And murdering 30 people and injuring 150.
Wow.
And that's in the eve of the holiday.
Wow. Wow. I think, Iris, we need to pray. Folks, we need to pray for this country and pray because this Passover, you ever heard of the blood moons?
Yeah.
I think it's this Passover when the next blood moon is. But, folks, we need to pray for this country because they're under... What's this like to know you've got Muslims all around you that want to kill you, even in your own country, that are citizens and have more rights than you do? What is that like for you? I mean, I know you're probably... I don't know if you're used to it or you become accustomed to it, but I'm not used to this thing, and it actually ticks me off pretty bad.
Listen, you're never used to it. We just want to be like a regular Western country. We want to live normal, and the daily life you see that we try to live normal. There's
right.
A normal life in Tel Aviv, and the tourists that come here, they said, "Wow, you live actually a normal life." Yeah, from time to time we have these wars, and after that, this is the crazy thing about it, that we get into a normal life very quickly.
Right.
You know, and even the wars do not interrupt our economy of Israel.
Right.
And so we got used to have here and there this war. We trust the soldiers. We trust the IDF. We cry on any soldiers that we lose. And the thing that strengthens us the most is the fact that we do live a natural life on a daily basis.
Right.
Well, and even if there are terror attacks in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, you know that a few hours after terror attacks, everybody go to a regular life.
Right.
This is what makes us like
stronger.
Stronger, yeah.
Yeah. Iris, I'm shocked, and I'll tell you this year, and we're only in March right now, headed into April, and it's going to be very, very interesting, folks, to see what goes on, to see the progress. We're not going to push back Islam. They're going to continue to progress. They're going to continue to murder and rape and pillage, even the Muslim countries that may not be involved in this. But we've got over a dozen Muslim countries that are involved in this conflict. But at the end of the day, they're all, you know what, Iris? Their focus will come back to Israel to destroy Israel. Every Muslim country, all of them. And this is what's scary about it. But folks, we need to pray for Israel. You need to support Insight to Israel and Mercies for Heroes. We've got a serious, serious year coming up, and we're going to take you on the front lines. Iris, I'll tell you, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you guys for supporting Israel.
And, this show went quick, but I hope that everybody got the gist. It's amazing, amazing what has been done, what we were able to accomplish with just such a small... A little bit of effort in what Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes has been able to accomplish. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel and Hershey's for Heroes. I want to thank everyone for their support. God bless the patriot conservatives who stand for the Judeo-Christian founded Constitution and Bill of Rights. And God bless Israel in her fight for sovereignty and security.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.